We are on lesson number 20, and this lesson is on studying your Bible, and it's dealing with relational. We're considering how we want to be led of the Spirit, and specifically how we want the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to tell the condition of our heart, whether it is towards the soul, towards being really led of the flesh, or being towards our spirit being led of the Holy Spirit. And so we looked at last week of the idea of reading our Bible, and that's very important. But it's kind of described it in this way, that reading our Bible is like going out and getting a bunch of loads of logs that would be very good for firewood. But if we just read them, and that's it, it's like we've dumped all these logs in our yard, and yet our house is still freezing. We haven't actually done anything with it. We got to get it into the furnace, which is our heart, our mind, so it can burn and be used of God as He desires. And so we want to understand that we need to read the Bible, but that's the first step, but that can't be the only step. That's just really the beginning step. And what happens is, we describe it again this way, that if you're basically, when you're reading the Bible, it's like you're a prospector searching for gold. And it isn't something where, oh, I see that there's some gold here, and then we keep searching somewhere else, and we never get back to where that gold was. That doesn't make any sense, right? And so what we want to do is, as we're going through God's Word, is that He's going to give us these kind of these gold nuggets of truth that He draws our attention to. The Spirit's prompting us, and we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. We need to pause, and we need to say, okay, He's drawing my attention to this for a reason. And so I have to take time then to study it out and determine how God may be ordering our steps. And so that's what we're going to be looking at, the idea of studying. And it's kind of the thing. It's sort of like, we want to understand, studying takes time. Studying takes effort. It's a challenge, because sometimes what it is like, we read the Bible and say, what does that verse mean? I don't know what it means. And sometimes we just, I don't have the time to sit here and figure out what it means. And it's like, well, wait a minute. No, we need to make time. But then sometimes what we do is like, we try to find a way, how can I figure it out really fast? And so what we sometimes do is like, oh, I'll just read what somebody else has to say. I'll find the commentary, and it'll just basically tell me what this means. And the problem is, of course, we think that's a good idea, but a lot of times what it is we're taking what someone else has learned, and that may not, one, it may not specifically be what God's trying to show us ourselves. We're sort of trying to, we're getting it secondhand. It's almost like getting someone else's leftovers, and it's not fresh. And the problem is, too, if you've ever really kind of examined commentaries at any length, you can have three or four commentaries and have them all say something different and have them contradict each other. And it can be very confusing. And sometimes the thing is, too, is you can become very dependent on a commentary where you think, well, I have to understand it through this person. And a lot of times when people do that, they end up taking that person's kind of fuzzy doctrines and other things along with them, and they take it in wholesale, and they don't even have any kind of challenging of anything, that it just, whatever that person says is gospel. And we want to realize that, wait a minute, we're seeking to be led of the Spirit, that we don't, it isn't something where man is teaching us the Bible, We want it to be where the Holy Spirit personally is our teacher. And so we want to learn to do that. And so we don't want to take shortcuts. We don't want to kind of cheat in how we do that. We want to learn to study the Bible for ourselves. And so we're going to look at that and just the principle of studying in the sense of dissecting and defining. And it's what we do with Bible verses or passage promptings from God. And so the thing is it can take, usually for a verse, two or three minutes to fully understand its meaning. And especially with a verse where it's a longer verse, where it's a lot of different words you're maybe not familiar with, it could take a while to figure it out. But it's kind of the thing, if the Lord's drawn your attention to that verse, there's a reason. And so you got to say, I got to find out what the reason is. And so if I read this, I have to see, okay, what does this actually mean? What is God trying to say? And it's not like there's some secret code that you have to decipher. It's written in our language, right? And it's been faithfully translated, and we know the principles of the preservation of God's Word, where He's able to give us His Word in our language so that we can understand it. And so we want to look at it ourselves and discover what it means. And so the idea is that we take a verse apart, we define the words so we understand what it means, and then we put it all back together. And this helps us better understand the insight, application, or conviction that the Lord is presenting. And so, one of the things that we can use is the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And the reason why we would choose this dictionary is because of the dictionaries available today. This one is really closest to the meaning of the defined English language used by the 17th century translators of the King James Bible. And so we want to understand the King James Bible was first, the first edition of translation was 1611. But we do understand that there was various kind of revisions and different things where they kind of dealt with, of course, in that time with printing presses. Sometimes there was different typos and different things that they had to just kind of search through and find. And they changed the actual font to make it easier to read. And so what happened was the Bible that we have now, is the authorized King James Version, is a 1769 edition. And so you think of it, 1769, and then you have Webster's 1828 dictionary. So it's basically, like, what would that be? Like about a little over 50, 60 years after. So it's at least fairly close. And so it's wise to have something that's close, because, of course, there's some words that have changed in their meaning. You can think of the word conversation in the Bible, that we think of conversation as being talking with someone, where conversation in the Bible actually means the way, your way of life, how you live, how you interact with other people. Yes, it has to do with what we say, but it also is what we do. And so there's different things, and so it's valuable in that way, that it can just be a tool where we can see what it means. And there's plenty of other tools. There's like Strong's Concordance can be handy, and there's other kind of Bible dictionaries, but it's kind of the thing, when we really understand principles of biblical interpretation, what we would call hermeneutics, a lot of what we understand is that one is that the Bible is interpreted literally and grammatically, that it's, if we understand language, we understand what words mean, it can help us to understand what it's saying, that it isn't some hidden truth or some code we have to decipher. And two, it's also the idea that the golden rule of interpretation is we use Scripture to interpret Scripture. And so a lot of times we think about, okay, sometimes, and that can sometimes be, as we're studying, is like we read something, we don't understand what it means. Sometimes it's handy to think, okay, well, this reminds me of maybe another verse. And we can search that out. And it used to be, of course, that we had to get books out. And you have like the big 1828 dictionary and your Strong's Concordance and these other things. And it was almost like, how do I have room on my desk for all this, these books, right? Whereas nowadays it's so handy because it's like you have a lot of these things are on, you can get on your smartphone. Like I know there's a Webster's 1828 app that you can have where you just punch in the word and it'll show you that page of definition of that word. And so it can be very handy. And so we want to kind of keep it simple, and I think it's wise for us not to try to use someone else's kind of ideas of what they think it means, because they're only men, and sometimes they can totally miss the point. And one of the things I always found was you had these guys that were these supposed to be these great commentators, and you get to a verse where it really seems confusing and you don't know what it means. And you look it up in the commentary, and they skipped over it because they didn't know what it meant either. And it's just like, that's not fair. How could you do that? But it's the thing is, like, you can't. We're not looking for men to teach us. We want the Holy Spirit to teach us personally, and that it's the whole idea of we're studying our Bible to develop our relationship with God. And really, that's the sad thing, because you think of with the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they spent all their days studying the Bible. But yet they had no relationship with God. And we wonder, how is that even possible? But it's kind of that thing where you're pursuing knowledge, you're basically following these different commentaries and basically arguing over which of these titans of the faith is right in this argument. And a lot of times you find out that all of them are wrong in one way or another. And so we want to get to the truth. And so we want to understand with the Bible, most books are written for our information, but the Bible was written for our transformation. And that's what we have to really have in mind. We're not just trying to get a bunch of information so we can beat everybody at the Bible trivia game. That's not the purpose, right? That it's we want to be changed as we read it, that it transforms our lives. And so we realize that transformation is the end result of the development of a personal relationship with God. And so, if we just read the Bible and we don't go any further, it's just going to be information. We brought the wood onto our property, but we haven't done anything with it. And so God's intention is to inform us so He might transform us. He wants to transform our minds through the Word of God. And so He does this as we read, and then we study, and then we move on from there. And so you can kind of think of it in our analogy of firewood, that it's like reading is when we bring the wood onto our property, but studying is really when we cut it and split it and stack and have it so it's actually ready to be used as firewood. Okay? We break it down. And so we see in 2 Timothy 2:15. Whoops. Sorry about that. I didn't check that. All right. And so this is a verse that we see. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we want to just dissect and define this passage to see what it says, and give us an example of the process. So, first of all, we see the word study. And so that set our thoughts on a subject where we're taking the time to figure out what does this actually mean? Where we're trying to understand it fully. And it's to show ourselves approved so that we are accepted of God, that we've come to a level, a standard of understanding that He desires for us to have. And it's a workman. It's a laborer. And that's the thing, is that study takes work. And a lot of times, honestly, we can recognize that our flesh is is always there trying to convince us to be lazy in this area and just say, well, yeah, you don't have the time for that. It's, what's the use? You have other things to do. And it's like, no, we need to make the time because God's trying to say something to us and we don't want to miss it. And so it takes that effort. And it's always going to be rewarding if we're willing to take that effort. And we always find that when we do have that time and God shows us something. But a lot of times it seems we're easy to forget that and we slip back into old habits of not really focusing as we should. And so a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that we're not affected by shame, that it's kind of, it's always that thing that Jesus talks about, blessed is that one whom the servant whom his master when he cometh shall find so doing, that that's what he wants us to do. And so we're supposed to be in his word, studying it and learning from it, right? And if we know it, then we're not going to be ashamed. The reason why we're not ashamed is because we can rightly divide the word of truth. That it's very easy, and we see examples of it all the time, of those that wrongly divide the word of truth. That they might take a few verses and go way off in some strange direction and come up with these bizarre doctrines that really are not what the Bible teaches, but because they have their different proof texts that they say that, oh yeah, this is obviously what the Bible says, that we want to rightly divide it. And that's the thing, is that I think that we are going to be held accountable for how we handle God's Word. And so we don't want to be found to be ashamed. We want to make sure we're studying it as led of the Spirit, and so that He will help us to rightly divide it. Because that's the thing. It's, again, we need to rely upon the Spirit's guidance, because vain is the help of man. That sometimes even the most well-meaning men can misinterpret the Scriptures. And so we want to be guided by the Spirit. And so the idea of dividing the Word, it's considered studying. And it's a type of study that's approved by God. And so God considers this an acceptable way of dividing His Word. So we need to dissect and define the Word of God. And we also see that God describes this kind of study as hard work. The person engaged in the process of workman or laborer. And it's harder than simply reading. But that's why it's acceptable to Him. Not only does He approve of this work, it also comes with great rewards. Right? And so, as a careful student, we're not going to be affected by the shame that comes from not being aware of certain truths in your life. And that's something you kind of think about. It's always kind of something that if anybody asks me if I'm speaking and whether you should take notes, that I say, because they ask, well, I say, yes, you should take notes because there will be a test on it later. It's not going to be a test that I give. It's going to be a test that God gives, right? And He gives us these things. A lot of times it is to prepare us for the challenges we're going to face that day. And so if we are paying attention, we're sensitive to the Spirit, He's pointing something out to us, and we say, okay, I got to find out what this means. There's something in here that's important. Then we get that, and we have that, and then some happens, and then we realize, boy, this is what God gave me, and this is just what I needed. Then we can use that to pass the test. But it's other times where we were in a rush, we think God's shown us some, but we don't have time to look at it, and then something happens, and we're like, man, how could I fail? God, why weren't you there to help me? And He's like, I gave you what you needed in the morning and you didn't have time to look at it. And so He's trying to help us that way, that it's we're not going to be ashamed if we take the time to study. And so it's the idea is that a better understanding of what we read gained by study will lead us toward better preparation for that day's circumstances of life. And so what we want to do, and so these are just some steps to take in studying our Bible. So first of all, as we read our Bible, If we're prompted from the Spirit on a certain passage, we need to stop and pause and consider the meaning. And sometimes we just, as we think about it, we read it over, we can maybe kind of come to it ourselves, what it's talking about, but if we don't readily discern, then say, okay, well, let's get out 1828 dictionary, let's dissect and define the passage, and just say, what do these words mean? Once I put them back together, how does that actually fit together? And so then what we do is we then put the definitions back together, and sometimes we can even rewrite the verse or paraphrase it in our its personal daily journal. And so it just helps us to have it brought down to our understanding. We think of how it was in the days of Ezra that he would read God's word and people were attentive to listen to it, but there was actually a group of guys you read about where they went around and they gave the sense and they helped people to understand the meaning. That they basically, it was like, okay, I heard this, but I don't know what this means. Can you tell us what this means? And then they say, okay, well, this is kind of what it says. And it would just kind of help them in that way. And that's what we want to learn to do. And so we get that, and so then we continue on with reading your Bible, and sometimes there might be something else that he has for us. And so it's the thing, is that there might be different verses where it doesn't necessarily stick out, and you don't necessarily have to, and that's really kind of being sensitive to it, is that, like, you know that there's a lot in every verse, but for this, specifically for the day, that there might be some things that you need. And you can think of, like, reading through Proverbs. A chapter a day is a good idea, but you think of the verses in Proverbs, especially the later chapters, where a lot of times it seems they're in there just totally randomly. That one verse may have nothing to do with the other verse, but they're talking about just different principles, different kernels of wisdom. And 1 month that you go through that chapter, and one verse specifically might stand out to you. You go through the next month, and it might be a completely different verse. And it, because you're in a different position in life, you're going to go through a different circumstance, and God's trying to prepare you for that situation. And so we do that. So we take, as that happens, we just take the dissect and define passage that we're prompted on, and then we're going to begin to work on what's the third step in the process that we're going to look at next week. And so, we want to understand that when we study the Bible, we're placing the powerful living truth in our heart. And that's the important thing, that just reading the Bible does not develop a personal relationship with God any more than reading a biography of D.L. Moody would develop a relationship with him. All it does is give information about his life. But when we study, and that's the idea, Webster actually defines study as setting our heart upon a subject. When we do that, that's we begin a short process of dwelling on it. And we dwell on things in our heart. And so that's what we're learning in this section, is to develop the tools to determine the position of our heart and lead us to Christ dwelling within us. And so studying the Bible is a precursor to getting Christ to dwell in our hearts. And though it's just a time, for the time that you're studying, he at least dwelt there during that time. And so your time of study places Christ in your heart, but it won't keep him there. And so there's two more steps that we're going to be looking at that are the means for keeping him there. And so, as a review, when we read the Bible, we're placing the powerful living truth in our mind. And when we study the Bible, we're placing the powerful living truth in our hearts. Reading is informational, increases our information about God. But study is relational. It develops our personal relationship with him. And so, we want to understand that the steps of dwelling, whether for a moment in study or for longer periods of meditation, which we'll see two lessons for now, will help us develop a personal relationship out of the information that we've collected. And it's not what we know about a person that makes it personal, it's the deeper meaning of what we know that makes it more personal. study takes us to that deeper meaning of comprehension concerning a truth. And so it's kind of a review that to develop an intimacy with God, we first have to read God's Word, and second, we must study God's Word. Reading our Bible increases information about God. Studying the Bible stimulates our personal relationship with God. But yet we realize there's still two more steps we must put in with that study information through in order for it to develop an intimacy with God. That you think of it this way, again with the analogies, we have to not just get the logs on our property, that's reading the Bible. It isn't just cutting and splitting it, that's studying the Bible. We have to carry the logs into our house, and that's really what we're going to look at next week, is kind of memorizing. But then we've got to put it in the fire in order to heat our home, and that's meditation. And so we're going to get to that. But it's we realize we start with reading God's Word, then we study God's Word, but we got to keep going. There's more that we need to do to prosper in developing a personal relationship with God. And so next week we're going to look at the principle of memorization. All right, so then we have study questions. So 2 Timothy 2:15 mentions dividing the Word. So what does God mean by this statement? Yeah, that we figure out what it means, we know how things fit, and we're understanding it clearly. And so why is it important to use the 1828 Webster's Dictionary to second-define Scripture in the Bible and not another type of dictionary? Yeah, it's very close to the same time in which the Bible was translated, and so it's going to be a lot more accurate than some of the new dictionaries that we have for understanding it. Another resource that I've seen that's very good is Stephen White from BC. He's actually produced, it's a King James Bible dictionary where he's studied out a lot of the words. Unfortunately, I think he only has got about half of the words done, like kind of from like A to K or somewhere like that. And so the other edition, like the rest of it, isn't completed yet. But I've seen that, and it's very good too, because there's different words like ensample and example, and showing how, even though they're similar in meaning, there is a reason why one is used in one place and not in another. And so there's different things like that, but certainly one that's very easy to get a hold of, and again, there's an app you can get on your phone with the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and it's, if you can't find that, you can just put that in as a website, and you can do that too. That's what I do a lot of on my laptop. But it just makes it really handy, so you don't have to think, oh, I have to be some kind of Greek scholar to understand this. No, just if you get a dictionary that's giving you the definition of the words close to the time that it was translated, then it makes it easy to understand. And then, whoops. Okay. So, I'm not sure what I did there. Oh, here we are. So, two steps you must put your study information through in order for it to develop an intimacy with God. What are these two steps? I'm not sure what happened there. Sorry about that. Yes? Yeah, we got to read God's Word and we got to study God's Word. Not sure what happened there, but that doesn't matter. Okay, so, as we conclude, any questions or thoughts? No? Yeah, no, and it's part of the process, and we want to understand that it's not like we have to have some kind of degree in order to study God's Word and be confident in what we're understanding. Because God wants to bring it to our understanding, and He uses just the English and other things to be able to do it. Yes?
Tomorrow is the last day I'll see Henry.
Okay.
Because Tuesday is his last day of school, so just pray that I would be able to share some more verses with him.
Sure. Sure, sure. No, definitely we can pray for him. But yeah, it's... But anyways, so yeah, that's the lesson for tonight. And so just encourage you just to know that you're trying to develop a relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit is there to help you. And so just as guided by Him, He's not going to draw your attention to a verse and then make it so it's totally like you're unable to understand it. That He'll a lot of times, if you're searching, He'll provide you with the means to come to an understanding of what it means. And so don't give up, and just trust that the Lord's drawn your attention to something, that it's for a reason, and most likely it's something that you'll need for that day. And so you want to make sure you get what He's trying to put across to you. All right, so let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word once again. And we just pray that You would just help us and guide us, that as we read Your Word and study it, Lord, we would just take the time to listen to You, Lord, when You're trying to direct us to something, that we'll be paying attention, and that we'll enjoy the great blessings of what You want to share with us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.